is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Jay Mastel of The Economist magazine. He's the Washington bureau chief, observing where we are now after the withdrawal from Afghanistan and the Biden administration turning, it seems, towards East Asia and the challenge of the People's Republic of China. But to review the many decades since the end of the Second War, where the U.S. emerged as a superpower in contest with another superpower at the time, the Soviet Union. James, a very good evening to you, and thank you for this. I welcome, beginning with George Kennan, the distinguished foreign policy commentator for most of those decades until he left us near the age of 100. The essay points to George Kennan's observation at the age of 98 about the decision of America to turn its attention to what becomes Afghanistan and Iraq. And I believe the warning he voices at the time, this is in the transition between the attack on New York and Washington and the decision to go overseas with the U.S. Military in conjunction with our allies, that it might be beyond our capabilities. What do you make of his remark now, reflecting back 20 years? What was he warning, and who listened and who didn't? Good evening to you, James.
Well, good evening to you, John. Can I cheat and look back not just a couple of decades, but actually multiple decades?
Of course.
Famously, the articulator of containment as the foundation of what became known as the Truman Doctrine, the post-World War II doctrine that governed America's foreign policy through the Cold War, an America that would not retreat to isolationism after its success in World War II, an America that recognized the new inadequacy of its staunch allies in Europe, principally the UK, to take on a competitive, handle a competitive relationship with the Soviet Union in Europe. And therefore, it would fall to America to be engaged in Europe continually and persistently in a way that it hadn't pre-World War II. That that basic perception spawned containment, contestation with the Soviet Union, not only in Europe, but ultimately in the Middle East and then the Far East. That was the story of America through the Cold War. However, Kennan became very disenchanted with containment, and he felt that his observation had been simplified and had morphed into a far more aggressive, militaristic foreign policy than he had originally imagined. And I think, leaping forwards now to 1998, part of what Kennan was warning against was the outcome of that militaristic, as he saw it, foreign policy. He thought that it had led America to bite off challenges that were beyond its resources and that were likely to have perverse outcomes. And of course, if we look at what followed in Iraq, in Afghanistan, he appears to have been on the money.
Because a playwright in the sky is controlling all of our moves, James, we happen to have a president who was right there at the moment of Vietnam, right there during the fall of the Soviet Union, right there at the decision to go into Afghanistan and Iraq, and right there at the decision to leave Afghanistan and Iraq in much controversy. It's wonderful. The great playwright in the sky provides us the same man. So let's go to Joe Biden's remarks following the attack on New York in the essay. He warned on, I'm following the essay, the sin of Vietnam, quote, the failure of two presidents to level with the American people of what the costs would be. A well-taken criticism at the time, and then Joe Biden voted for the war in Iraq and all the catastrophe that followed since then. Now, if we go back to a much younger Joe Biden, what was he pointing to at that time that no one listened to, including Joe Biden?
He was like Kennan, urging caution. Joe Biden is an interesting contradiction. He is on the one hand channeling some of the kind of native skepticism of the American voter, a little bit leery of these expansive military engagements, militaristic foreign policy, and has been since Vietnam at least. And I think he was articulating that. And at the same time, Joe Biden has always been blown by the political headwinds. And the political headwinds at the time he was speaking were very much in favor of supporting the Republican president in his march to war with Iraq, supporting him to the hilt from 9/11 onwards, really. And indeed, it's revealing that all of the Democrats of that moment who had ambitions to run for the presidency against George W. Bush voted for his war in Iraq. It was only the has-beens in the Democratic Party, like Al Gore, and the future men of the Democratic Party who weren't interested in the coming election, like Barack Obama, that had the courage to vote with their instincts. I think a more general instinct than the party-wide vote reflected to come out against the war in Iraq.
Before we come to the present circumstance of Iraq and Afghanistan, I want to stay with Vietnam just a moment, because this very much shaped my generation's understanding of America as a superpower, as a foreign policy. And I confess boldly that I was opposed to the war, as were all of my classmates, and this is the late 60s, early 70s. But the turmoil at the time gave us lessons that are difficult to get back to, given the fall of the Soviet Union. So what is the sin of Vietnam in your measure now? Was that Mr. Kennan's observation of beyond the capability of the United States, the Vietnam War? Was that too much for us?
It was plainly too much for America. There was an unrealistic ambition that drove the American military effort. And I think that Kennan himself would have gone further and said that the sin was the primacy of the application of military force in pushing a strategy of containment. So Kennan would have said that the wrong tools were being used, that this was a strategic misstep. And I think that more sort of prosaically, what Biden was referring to was, on the one hand, and perhaps mostly, the unrealistic nature of the military endeavor, but also given Biden's, as we say, you know, native skepticism, sort of, you know, not isolationist. Clearly he's an internationalist, but he's in touch with voters who have more isolationist instincts. And he would, I think, have said that the sin was for America to have got involved in a conflict in which it had no core interest. So there were multiple parts to the sin, if you like. For Biden, it was a war that should not have been fought because it wasn't sufficiently in America's interest. For Kennan, the primacy of military application was in itself the wrong way to go about containment. And as it was, the military ambition was unrealistic.
And yet Vietnam drew in the major presidents following the Second War: Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, even Ford, although Ford is part of the exit strategy. So was that a trap that we walked into, thinking that our superpower could resolve the domino theory that Eisenhower proposed, and that we took the wrong lessons from it because the Soviet Union fell apart a couple of decades later? Is that what happened to us, James?
I think that is what happened during the war. As we've seen in these more recent wars, even presidents who instinctively are against what their predecessor did — there's no doubt that Barack Obama would like to have abrogated almost everything that George W. Bush did in his management of a war on terror — but Obama felt constrained politically, and as part of that constraint, the sunk costs of the war effort that he inherited were just too high. Too many lives had been lost, too much money had been spent for him just to pull the plug on the effort. That would have been an act of extraordinary political courage, which Obama didn't rise to. And I think that in Vietnam, we saw very much the same pattern. However, I'd slightly take issue with you, as I understood it, your suggestion that ultimately the lessons of Vietnam were not learned. I think that they were learned. Arguably, they were overlearned, in that there was, for a spell, for the next decades, a great reluctance to involve American troops in these peripheral conflicts, in messy conflicts in developing countries. And certainly the way that the Cold War was one, seemed to underscore that such conflicts were unnecessary to a great power rivalry.
I'm speaking to James Astle of The Economist magazine. He's the Washington bureau chief, and we're discussing lessons learned or unlearned following the withdrawal from Afghanistan and remarks by the now President Joe Biden dominate all of these periods if you go looking for them. Now we'll come to the 21st century when we come back. George W. Bush's decision, Afghanistan and Iraq, and how that has guided or misguided America to this present circumstance. Are we now a superpower? Are we now one of the powers? How do we conduct our foreign policy? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.